Chapter 5. Morris Townsend's Sister. Dr. Sloper went to see Morris Townsend's sister, Mrs. Montgomery. He wanted to ask her about her brother. Mrs. Montgomery lived in a tidy little red house with some flowers and grass at the front. Dr. Sloper was taken inside. After 10 minutes, Mrs. Montgomery came into the sitting room. She was short and a little fat, with bright, intelligent eyes. "She made me wait too long, but I like her," thought Dr. Sloper. "She isn't conceited like her brother." "I'm sorry that you had to wait for me," she said, looking worried. Dr. Sloper was an important man in the city, and people like him never came to see her. "Don't worry," he said. "Mrs. Montgomery, I have come to talk to you about your brother. You may find it difficult to answer some of my questions. I can see that you're an honest person. But if you're honest in your answers, you may have to speak badly of your brother." "Yes, that doesn't sound easy," Mrs. Montgomery agreed with a serious face. "But your brother wants to marry my only child, so I must ask you, is he a good man?" She smiled a little and then said, "It's difficult for people to talk about their brothers." Dr. Sloper got a bit annoyed. "If he's a good person, why is it difficult? You've never met my daughter, but I can tell you that she is the best person in the world and will never hurt your brother. But he may make her very, very unhappy. So, you see, you must tell me the truth." Mrs. Montgomery still hesitated. "My daughter has $10,000 a year already. She inherited that from her mother. If I approve of the man that she marries, she will inherit my money too, after my death. That is twice the amount." Mrs. Montgomery listened carefully, and her face went a little red. She said softly, "Oh, your daughter will be very rich." "That's right. And that is why I must know. Can I trust your brother? If I can't, Catherine will still have her mother's money, but I will give mine to the city's hospitals when I die." Mrs. Montgomery looked down at the floor for a while, thinking. Then she asked, "Does Morris know this?"
"I would be happy to tell him," answered Dr. Sloper, laughing.
"You don't like him, do you?" she said.
"I think that he only cares about himself, and he prefers not to work. He wants other people to give him money. He takes your money, doesn't he?"
As he said this, he looked at Mrs. Montgomery carefully. Suddenly, she started to cry.
"How do you know all that?"
"I'm a doctor. In my job, I have to understand people's personalities. Is this person lying, or are they really ill? What is really wrong with them? Is the problem in their body or in their mind? I've been a doctor for a long time, so I'm very good at this now."
"It's true. I'm a poor widow, and I have 5 children. Morris has no job, but he teaches my children a little Spanish," said Mrs. Montgomery.
Dr. Sloper laughed loudly.
That must be a big help, he said, standing up. I have the information that I wanted. So now I will go.
Then he added quietly,
Listen, don't give him more of your money.
Mrs. Montgomery got up too.
Do you see that it is good for me if Morris marries a rich person? That is why I didn't want to speak badly of him.
And you didn't speak badly of him. But I understand everything. If he doesn't marry my daughter, he will continue taking your money. So allow me to help you. I will give you some money for your brother.
Mrs. Montgomery looked at him with wide eyes.
Morris is not a bad person, but...
She hesitated and then started to cry.
Don't allow your daughter to marry him.
Dr. Sloper left the house, smiling to himself.
I was right, he thought.
During the next couple of weeks, Catherine did not see Morris because her father did not want her to, but she wrote him a letter. It said,
My father doesn't want me to see you again. Please don't visit me until I have decided what to do.
Morris wrote back, a little angrily. He told Catherine about his meeting with her father, but did not give her the complete truth.
What do you need to decide? Are you going to give me up? I met with your father, and he wasn't kind. He shouted at me. Your home is a prison to you now. Allow me to come and take you away.
Catherine replied,
Wait, and give me a little time to think.
She was worried because she did not want to make her father angry, but the thought of giving Morris up never entered her head. 2 weeks later, Dr. Sloper sat watching his daughter and thinking,
She hasn't spoken to me about her lover since that evening in the library. That's strange. She doesn't have a strong personality, and I think that she will give him up, as I told her to.
Dr. Sloper went and kissed his daughter on the head.
You're a good daughter.
I'm trying to be good, replied Catherine.
Would you like to talk to me about anything?
No, thank you, she answered, and she thought, If I'm good and respectful, and I wait, maybe Father will change his mind. Then I can have both my father's love and Morris's love.
The same day, Aunt Lavinia said to Catherine,
You must do something, my dear.
She did not want her niece's love story to end. She was very sentimental, so she wanted it to get more exciting. And she also wanted to be a part of the story.
They should marry secretly, she thought, and I will be there with them. Then they will go and live at the other side of the city, and only I will visit them. After a while, I'll persuade my brother to stop being angry with them, and I'll take him to see his daughter and her new husband.
Aunt Lavinia wrote to Morris every day, and early one evening, she asked to meet him in a little restaurant. Morris arrived, ordered a soup, and began eating it. He was feeling very annoyed at Aunt Lavinia. He thought, as he ate,
The family should be pleased that I want to marry Catherine, because she's nothing special to look at. I made friends with this aunt because I wanted to be invited to Washington Square.
She helped me with that, but why does the silly old woman want to meet me now? She's just interfering. She never has anything useful to say.
Morris thought this, but he did not show it, and Aunt Lavinia noticed nothing.
Has Catherine sent me a message? He asked.
No, Aunt Lavinia said. Of course, there was no message, because Catherine did not know that they were meeting.
But Catherine will not give you up. Sadly, my brother has a cold, hard personality, so he won't change his mind either. That is why you should have a secret marriage, and I can help you. You need someone there to watch you marry, and I can do that for you.
This woman's stupid, thought Morris, but he said,
You wanted to meet me to tell me this idea.
You can't see Catherine, but you can see me, and I am her aunt. Would you feel better if we did that?
Tell Catherine that she mustn't give me up, Morris cried. Then he added, Her father hates me.
He thinks that you like her money, said Aunt Lavinia.
I do like her money, he answered.
But you don't like it more than Catherine, do you?
Morris did not answer. He just put his head in his hands.
Oh, this is all so terrible.
You should marry Catherine anyway, Aunt Lavinia told him. Then my brother will see that you're not only interested in the money.
If I marry her, he'll give all his money to the hospitals, not to Catherine. Am I right? Asked Morris.
Yes, but she has her mother's money, too.
Morris looked at her, interested, and Aunt Lavinia continued.
My brother married a woman with money. So why can't you do the same?
They left the restaurant, and Aunt Lavinia put her arm in Morris's. When they arrived outside of Washington Square, she told him,
I'll give Catherine your message that she must not give you up.
All right, but I tell her that in my letters.
Yes, but it is better in words than in writing, isn't it?
Replied Aunt Lavinia.
After she went inside, Morris Townsend looked up at the building before him, his eyes moving over the large windows of Aunt Lavinia's rooms.
What a beautiful house, he thought.